You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey, as we look ahead to opening day, which is beginning very, very soon, we have asked our reporters to give us some bold predictions. I'm Allison Sutter from MLB.com, and we are going around the West teams and asking for bold predictions, so let's listen in. Jane, before we get into our bold predictions, let's talk about some news in A's camp about the starting rotation. So what's gone on lately?
Yeah, there was a little bit of some surprising news this week when the A's optioned Jesse Hahn to AAA and decided to go with Felix Dupont as their fifth starter. Just surprising in the fact that, you know, Jesse was supposed to be a big part of this team, a big part of this rotation. You know, he was supposed to play a big role, was kind of, you know, off-season projections. He pegged to be their number three guy and has really always been one of the promising young starters in the game. But not so surprising when you look at his spring numbers. He had an ERA over 11, had really struggled in each of his last two extended starts. Just he was having trouble getting guys out. The thing with him was his velocity was there, which was good news because that meant, you know, he's healthy. And I think the main concern with him coming into camp was his health, just because he missed the last half of the 2015 season with a forearm strain. And there was maybe some concern that he was going to need Tommy John for a second time in his career. So the fact that he came into camp healthy, that was always the number one priority. But at some point in spring, and the A's kind of repeatedly said this, you know, you have to start seeing results. And the results just weren't there for him. The velocity was there. The command just wasn't. And, you know, he's a big breaking ball guy. And so I know especially in Arizona this year, it was a lot drier, a lot warmer early on than it normally is. And it was affecting a lot of pitchers' performances. You just saw it across the Cactus League. It was really strange. And so Jesse was, you know, he wasn't the only one that was struggling, certainly not the only A's pitcher that was struggling. And I know he was kind of curious and hopeful of getting back in the Bay Area and pitching in an exhibition game against the Giants this weekend and really hoping to have one, you know, last chance to prove that, you know, he's fine, he's ready to go. And the A's just kind of decided it in their best interest and in Jesse's if he go down and continue getting work in a minor league environment. And, you know, conversely, they do have Felix Dupont, who if he wasn't in the rotation, he was going to be in their bullpen as a long man anyway. So he was going to be on this roster no matter what. But to see him in the rotation is a little bit of a surprise. I know the A's feel it deserving just because he had one of the better springs of any pitchers. They've been really impressed with his curveball this spring. He says it's the best it's been in a while. So he will begin the season as their fifth starter. But, you know, we know how much, you know, flexibility there is with rosters once the season begins. And I really wouldn't be surprised if we saw Jesse back in the rotation. You know, maybe it's not in April, then by May.
Yeah, I'm curious because I spent most of my baseball reporting career in Florida. I spent some time out in Arizona the last few years, but it seems like these ERAs really everywhere were just skyrocketing with every team. There's some guy that has some crazy ERA that's like supposed to be like a major part of their rotation. So, but typically, just like in a normal spring out in Arizona when it's not, you know, significantly hot, it's still a little bit skewed, right, because of how dry it is out there? I mean, is that just like a normal thing every year?
It is. And, I mean, you know, you see it especially, you know, with relievers, just because relievers especially, there's the sample size is so small because they're only totaling, you know, maybe 7, 8, 9 innings all spring. And, right, you know, they have a few rough ones. Of course, their ERA is going to, you know, be ballooned. And You hear guys talk about it all the time, just the breaking ball is not breaking like it normally does. You see it with the sinker ball pitchers, and Jesse is one of those guys that, you know, relies on, you know, getting the ball on the ground, and you just weren't seeing that with him. But, yeah, across the league, it was just kind of – it was pretty crazy. I mean, you even look at the Giants. I believe it was the Giants that led all – or they had the worst ERA of all – starting staff, and you look at their starting staff and you're thinking, well, they're probably not too concerned based on the personnel that they have. So it was definitely a tough spring and tough for, front offices to really gauge that and make decisions and decide whether, how much is it the environment and the air and, take that into consideration when making decisions. I know it was a particularly tough spring for teams to evaluate guys just for that reason.
Okay. Well, we will keep our eye on that. So let's go into our fearless and bold predictions. And these are just predictions. These are just kind of having fun. But let's start with Billy Butler. You believe he's going to have a bounce-back season. What gives you that indication?
Yeah, I wrote about it today. And just from talking to, from talking to Billy, but also the guys around him, manager, guys in the front office, I think they're seeing a different approach, a different swing with Butler this spring. His bat speed is much faster. He's reaching balls deeper in the zone. He's driving balls into the gaps, which they needed to see that because last season you just saw too many balls on the ground. I believe it was 26 double plays he grounded into. And you look at his average, I think it was around 250. Not terrible, but not great for someone that they, just gave out a 3-year, $30 million deal to. They expected more from him and they needed more from him. And I think they're going to get more just because of the way he's looking right now. He was talking about just, you play this game for so long, you start to develop some bad habits with your swing just unintentionally. It just happens. And over time, you're not recognizing it. But he was watching some video, working on some things this offseason and also going into camp. And he feels like he's figured some things out. And the A's do have him batting a little bit further down in the order this year just because of some of the additions they made. And I think that, can take some pressure off a guy. But also, I think it provides him a little motivation. He is a guy that's not afraid to say, I want to bat higher. I do expect to bat cleanup. So I think you're just going to see overall better production from him. I think he's going to be driving in a lot more runs, just getting back to the type of player that he was with the Royals.
Okay, and so your next bold prediction is that Chris Bassitt is going to be an All-Star. So what do you glean from that?
Yeah, I just think from watching him this spring, I think he's going to surprise a lot of people this year. I know he's not a guy that, across the league many people know about. He was one of those guys that the A's got in the Jeff Samardzija deal last offseason and didn't make the opening day roster as a starter, began in the bullpen and really just had an awful time, was walking guys left and right, and command ended up being just his biggest issue pretty much the course of the whole season until the end. He kind of figured it out, was brought back to Oakland as a starter. And it's interesting with him because he was one of those rare guys last year who said, I actually prefer to relieve, which you rarely hear. Of course, if guys have the option, they do want to start. And he's since completely changed his tune on that. He loves the routine of a starter. He spent the whole offseason in Nashville working out with Sonny Gray and David Price at Vanderbilt. Tried to imitate Sonny's delivery, actually, just because his the delivery he was using before, there was just so many mechanisms to it. It was real funky, and he's still a funky guy with his delivery, but it's a lot more smooth. And the A's were really liking what they're seeing. Both catchers, Steven Vogt and Josh Fagley, have talked just about how electric his stuff is. He's a guy that's capable of giving them, going deep in the games, giving them a lot of innings. And I think we're going to see good results. So, it'd be easy, of course, to say that Sonny will be an All-Star, and I'm sure, it wouldn't surprise me if he is. But just thinking of, off-the-wall bold predictions, I thought I'd include Bassitt just because of how impressive he has been. And just he's kind of been the top of camp a little bit, just sort of, by talking with some of the catchers and just about guys that, have the chance to surprise and really stand out this year.
See, PR. We're going to talk some bold predictions as we enter the regular season. And I'm looking at your bold predictions here. So let's just start from the top. Rougned Odor being the all-star second baseman for the American League. So obviously everyone's kind of expecting everything to come together for him this year. What impressions do you have so far of him?
Well, you know, Allison, there are a lot of good second basemen in the American League. You know, Robinson Cano, Kipnis, Pedroia. But I'll tell you what, Rougned Odor looks good. He's young. He's athletic. He's got some power. He's got some speed. He can play defense. He hit 3 home runs in a game here in spring training. I think this kid is going to have a great year. I think that if you really want to have a bold prediction, this kid might be the best player on this team, all-around best player on this team. I know we got Beltre and Fielder and Chu, but I think Rougned Odor, young, exciting, 22-year-old, left-handed hitting second baseman. I think this kid is going to be in for a special year, and I would not be surprised. In fact, I'll predict it. I think he'll be in San Diego come middle of July.
Yeah, it's an interesting story. Just from what he had to deal with last year, he had a really bad start to the season, got sent down. And, I mean, he really seemed like he grew from that and learned from that. So how many great players did we look at their careers and then we see how they started? And they started almost exactly like Odor. And he seems like he's got a pretty good head on his shoulders when it comes to that.
Yeah, Allison, that showed a lot when he went down to Round Rock and got his game together, got his at-bats together, his approach to hitting. Didn't let it crush him, didn't let it get to him. You know, he really went to work, and he was back in a month. And if you look at his numbers from the time he got called up, I guess it was mid-June all the way to the end of the season, he was fantastic. He was playing at an all-star caliber. So if he could do that for a full year, grow a little bit, mature a little bit more, get to know the league a little bit more, I think you could see an all-star caliber second baseman.
Okay, so let's move on to Ryan Rua, who you believe will get a pretty healthy amount of at-bats this year and be a valuable part of the team. And I was covering the Alamo Dome series, Big League Weekend with the Rangers and the Royals, and Jeff Banister was talking very highly of Rua and seems to, you know, be in his corner in a lot of ways. So what makes you think that he's going to contribute that much this season?
Well, it's like I call him the new David Murphy. You remember the great Ranger teams. David Murphy always came to camp as the fourth outfielder, didn't know how much he was going to play, when he was going to play. And he always, every year he'd end up with 400-plus at-bats. And I think Rua is going to be the same way. You know, he can play left field, right field, first base, DH. He's a very good hitter. He's athletic, and he can play multiple positions, left field being his primary position right now. But this kid can really swing the bat. You know, this guy was their opening day left fielder last year. Everybody forgets that. Now that they got Ian Desmond, he's no longer in that spot. But I think this guy is going to be like David Murphy. He's going to start the season as an unknown and finish the season as a valuable part of the team. And I think, like Murphy, I think somehow this guy's going to find 400 at-bats in the big leagues, and I think they're going to be 400 good ones.
I guess the Mariners needed a little help in their bullpen, and they got some of that. So tell us what happened today.
Yeah, Jerry DePoto went out and got Nick Vincent, the right-hander from the Padres, and really kind of shore up that they've had some hits. They've taken some hits with Evan Scribner and Ryan Cook and Charlie Furbush all having injuries, a couple other guys that didn't quite bounce back the way they'd hoped this spring. So they really felt they needed one more right-handed arm, and I feel like they got a pretty good one in Nick Vincent from the Padres, who had a bit of a surplus there. Vincent out of options, so a guy that's going to come on the club, and he's got a spot. DePoto says he's going to be the last guy that they were looking for to give him a pretty good group that they feel going forward into the spring, into opening day. So kind of set up now. They got Steve Cishek as the closer, and Joaquin Benoit, the setup guy from the right, and they'll use Vidal Nuno from the left hand, kind of the matchup late inning guy there, and then fill in behind them with Tony Zick, a hard throwing young rookie, and the opposite end, Joel Peralta, a 40-year-old right hander with a lot of mileage on him. That's going to be another right hander on that bullpen, and Mike Montgomery that they're switching over from a starting role to a lefty relief to kind of take Charlie Furbush's spot. So and then bring Vincent into that mix. So they feel like that's the group, the seven that they were ready to go forward with, and they feel a lot better. I think today they had some guys that have pitched well this spring. Don Roach really made a name for himself, but he has options, and a guy without any big-time major league experience. So they bring in Vincent, a guy who's pitched for 4 years with Padres and had pretty good success, pretty good strikeout numbers, and they like what he's shown.
Yeah, so I guess it wasn't probably a huge shock for you guys that they were. Were you kind of anticipating and wondering, like, when they were going to maybe make a move like this? Did you think that, you know, that could be, like, something last minute that they would do?
Yeah, definitely, Allison. It was pretty clear that Poto was kind of waiting to see what he could add here at the end. And this is, you know, pretty typical. Teams are, you know, the rosters are full of 25-man spots that are, you know, just fill up. And the Padres were guys looking at Vincent with a guy out of options that they had to make a decision on. Couldn't send him down without going through waivers, so they made a trade to the Mariners who had a spot. And, you know, that's pretty typical this time of spring. And, there's guys that just aren't going to make one club that fit pretty well on another. And a lot of times those guys are pretty important players. So it's an interesting chess match, kind of putting the pieces together here with rosters we come down the stretch.
Yeah, absolutely. Those guys are out of options. They become very valuable in the last few days of spring training, and there's a lot of changes of teams. Okay, so let's go into your bold predictions. So we have three really interesting predictions, and we say bold, so we're not saying these things are going to happen, but there's things that could happen. So let's start with the first one, which is not really too outlandish. Robinson Cano could bounce back and have an MVP-type season, maybe finish in the top three, so... why do you feel that could happen?
Yeah, Allison, that prediction probably would have been a lot bolder a month ago before people saw how well Robinson's playing. Robbie has just come out and had a dynamite spring. And, you know, a lot of people looked at last year and said, boy, this guy's, you know, he's 33. He's starting to lose it. And I'm just saying, hey, this guy's got, one, a lot of motivation. Two, he's healthy. And two would probably be number one there, really. I mean, he came to camp. He had double hernia surgery after last year. And people don't really know what he was going through and how well, how big a difference that is. He's just moving better. His swing is there this spring. His hips are better. He's able to turn on the ball and really drive it. And as a result, kind of wait on pitches a little longer and do the things that he's accustomed to doing. I think we're seeing the Robinson Cano that people expect this spring. He's been hitting the heck out of the ball, and I just think that's going to carry forward this year and make a big difference. And as a result, you know, a guy who saw his string of all-star streaks snap last year, wasn't really the big-time player. I think he's going to be back. My bold prediction is he's going to be a top three MVP candidate at the end of the year, and that would be a big jump forward. His first year in Seattle, people forget he was fifth in the MVP voting. People kind of think he had the expectation so high, people look at that like he didn't have a great year. He was fifth in the AL voting for the MVP, and I expect him to take a you're right back up in that picture, the top, elite players in baseball this year.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people, like Seattle, of course, 2 years ago, they just barely missed the playoffs, and so many people had them earmarked almost to win the pennant last year. That didn't obviously happen. But, I mean, the Mariners are always a team that everyone expects to be in the mix, and you can't do that. I mean, the Mariners cannot possibly do that unless they have Cano being Cano that they signed, right? I mean, he's got to be... He pretty much has to be in the top five of the MVP, really, for all of this to kind of work. Just not that he has to finish in the top five in MVP voting, but that means that he would have had a phenomenal year. And can the Mariners really have a great year without Robinson Cano contributing?
He's certainly a big key to it, and there's no question, right, Allison. You know, Felix Hernandez, Nelson Cruz, Cano, Kyle Seager, I mean, this is their core group, And if Cano is kind of he's the leader of that pack, and I expect him to be that leader again this year. He's too good a player to struggle like he did in the first half last year. And worth noting, you know, after his first half struggles last year, when he was hitting, I think, 239 at the, going to the end of June, he ended up hitting 330 over the last 3 months. And I think 17 homers in that span, and kind of really was back to being a pretty darn good, productive player. And he did that, right before he had to go have the double hernia surgery. And he wasn't running very well. He couldn't move very well. But so, you know, it's in there for Robinson. And I expect, if he can keep that health this year, that he'll be back to being that player.
Okay. So let's move on to your next bold prediction, which is that Kyle Seager is going to have a very nice offensive season. So tell us about that prediction.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Seager. I'm going to put a big RBI number for Kyle. I'm looking at 100 RBIs for him this year. That's my prediction with Kyle. And that would be a big jump. He had 74 last year, and But I really like the way things set up with this Mariner lineup this year. Getting Nori Aoki at the top, I think Ketel Marte is probably going to hit second. He's a guy that really showed a lot last year. Get some on-base guys that can really run, and then you go into that mix with Cano. If he has a big year, Nelson Cruz batting cleanup, and he puts Seager behind those guys, I just think there's going to be a lot of opportunities. And Kyle is a really, really strong, consistent player. That the one thing he didn't do well last year was hit with runners in scoring position, and he hit 179 with runners in scoring position, and that's the result, 74 RBIs. And you know, I heard some rumblings, hey, this guy can't hit with runners on and such, but you know, the year before, I think it's worth remembering, Seager hit 301 with runners in scoring position, had 96 RBIs, and he's certainly capable of it. And I think just that kind of last year, sometimes those sample sizes don't line up right, or things don't quite fall in. I think you get back to more of a, where you expect Seager in that kind of position. And I think with the lineup they've got, I expect a big production year for Kyle Seager.
The Angels have added a couple of not huge names, but maybe some reinforcements for their pitching staff. So tell us what they did with that.
Yeah, the Angels recently, they traded for left-handed starting pitcher Chris Jones from the Orioles, gave up a couple of low-level prospects. And then on Wednesday, they were finalizing a minor league deal with Kyle Kendrick, which hadn't been announced yet, but Kyle Kendrick got released by the Braves in the middle of March, had a really rough spring, and he had a really rough season last year, albeit it came with while pitching half of his games in the thin air of Coors Field. But he's rotation depth for them, both of them are, in AAA. And it's kind of, you know, I think the significant thing to take away from that is it's just kind of indicative of the kind of spring that they've had with their rotation. We went into the year, you know, thinking that their rotation was going to be their pillar, their strength this season, just because they had some quality depth there. But, you know, C.J. Wilson has not resumed playing catch yet. The Angels are hopeful that maybe he could start doing that by opening day. Tyler Skaggs looked good when he returned to the mound recently, but, you know, he's still got a few starts left in him before he could, you know, face major league competition in an actual game during the regular season. And, you know, as of right now, I mean, as I speak, Jared Weaver is throwing in a minor league game, and he gave up a three-run home run in the first inning. You know, it's still a little iffy with him as well. So, you know, there are a lot of questions with the rotation. I think the Angels just felt like they need some depth there to cover them. So that's kind of where they're at right now.
Okay. So that leads us up to the bold predictions. So we're just having our reporters give us some bold predictions that could possibly happen in 2016. Maybe not. Some are outlandish. Some are pretty reasonable. But let's start with yours. Of course, I love this first one. Tyler Skaggs being a big piece of the rotation down the stretch. So that would be good for everybody, including Tyler Skaggs.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Tyler Skaggs, you know, people, you know, forget about him because, you know, he's been out for so long. But, you know, he made the Angels rotation as a 22-year-old. And he took his turn every 5 days before he tore the ulnar collateral ligament in his elbow and underwent Tommy John surgery. He's still only 24 years old. He's 6'4". He's a little bit more filled out. He's still got great stuff. And he's had more than enough time to recover from that procedure. He's been pretty much a full 19 months since he underwent Tommy John surgery, and the Angels are being careful with him, as they should. But this is a guy who I really expect to factor heavily into the season. Now, when his season begins remains to be seen. I feel like he's still on track to join the rotation before the end of April, but he will be on an innings limit. It's going to be, I was told, it's going to be somewhere between 165 to 175 innings. So the fact that he's taken a little bit longer to begin his season is actually a good thing, because the last thing the Angels want is to be competing for a spot in the playoffs and to have to shut down somebody like Tyler Skaggs. And I feel like Tyler Skaggs is good enough that the Angels are going to want him taking the ball when they're in a pennant race, if they're in a pennant race, and if they get into the playoffs.
Yeah, I was reading some of the coverage that you had written about him, and I thought it was interesting that he was talking about kind of how isolating and kind of lonely it is when you're recovering, when you're rehabbing from Tommy John surgery, like just to be kind of on the outside of things. And you don't really think about that, but it's got, for somebody who has the talent to compete at the major league level and has, and then it's taken away from him for, you know, a pretty significant amount of time, that would make him, I guess, that much more motivated to just get back in the mix of things.
Yeah, and I, you know, and Tyler's talked about, there being some, you know, rough stretches there in that rehab. You know, Patrick Corbin talks about how it feels like the team forgets about you. And, you know, Tyler Stagg made sure he showed up every home game, but he showed his face around the team. And, you know, he was lucky that he was able to lean on somebody like Patrick Corbin, who's with the Diamondbacks now. He came back from Tommy John surgery in the middle of last summer. And those guys, they came up together. They were drafted the same year. They roomed together throughout the minor leagues. They were traded together to the Diamondbacks. And they kind of stayed in touch while Tyler was coming back. You know, Tyler talked about how the roughest points in his return were days where he would get off the mound. This is obviously late in his rehab. He'd get off the mound and, you know, the ball wasn't coming out of his hand well, especially when he was trying to throw curveballs. And then the next day he would show up and his arm was just incredibly sore because he was just not used to anything like that. And he remembers recalling several times throughout the rehab process, like, is this ever going to feel right? Is it ever going to be 100%? And I feel like everybody who is recovering from Tommy John surgery goes through something like that. But I think Tyler feels like he's finally kind of past that already. I think I don't feel like he considers himself rehabbing anymore. The fact that he's pitching in games, he'll probably pitch three innings at some point this weekend. He feels like he's back to being an actual pitcher now. And to him, that means everything.
Okay, so let's move on to your next prediction, which, you know, I think, I'm not sure if I agree. In my opinion, I just feel like the Angels are not going to have a very good season. And maybe I'm just being a little too hard on them, but I just see too many things, I guess, really wrong with the rotation. But you, in bulk prediction, you say they could swing a major deal at the trade deadline, which would indicate that they're in the AL West race. I will say that the AL West, I find it to be one of the weaker divisions, so that could happen. But you just think that they'll be somewhere in a stone's throwing distance of being a contender.
I do, Allison. You're throwing a wet blanket on the Angels team right now. Amazing.
I know. So I don't know what's wrong with me, but I picked them last on my podcast with Will Leach, so I hope people don't throw things.
Wow. Well, I mean, I see where you're coming from. And, you know, the questions are obvious, and I think the most prominent ones come from a depth standpoint because they obviously have the worst-ranked farm system in the major leagues, and they had to kind of fabricate that depth by picking up guys through waivers, signing guys on minor league contracts. I think that's the biggest question. I think the Angels, more so than any other team, can't afford injuries on the position player side because they don't really have guys to fill in. Now, Billy Epler has raved about kind of the guys that they've added over the offseason. A lot of guys had good springs. And I know that the rotation doesn't look good right now, but the rotation was the one part of their team where they could actually absorb some injuries. The lineup has actually looked pretty good. I know you don't put a lot of stock, or you shouldn't put a lot of stock into spring training numbers, but you're starting to get the sense that maybe this lineup is not as bad as people thought, and that maybe they're going to be able to set the table for Mike Trout a little bit better. Maybe it's going to be a little bit deeper. Maybe they're going to do a better job of situational hitting. I'm not saying the Angels are going to be a world beater this year, but I do think the Angels are good enough to stay in the race. And I think when the end of July comes, unlike last year, I feel like if they're in the race, I think they're going to try to make a move to kind of put them over the hump. Last year, they were kind of in it toward the end of July, but that was kind of weeks after Jerry Dipoto resigned. And I don't think they wanted to kind of mortgage the future for a rental. They could have gotten somebody like Yoenis Cespedes, but they didn't pull the trigger. I think this year they can do that. If C.J. Wilson comes back, he's heading into the last year of free agency. Once he returns and if Weaver produces a little bit and Tyler Skaggs is back, they're going to have that rotation depth that we spent the entire offseason talking about, that's finally going to start to show up. And they could trade from that at that point to get any offensive pieces or bullpen pieces that they may need. And that's why I feel like come July, I feel like they're still going to be in the race. And I feel like they're going to have the pieces to make the kind of move that they're going to need for the last 2 months.
We're going to talk about the Astros, Brian. We're going to get into some bold predictions heading into the season. But first, let's just go over a couple of newsy items that the Astros have going on. So last two spots on their roster are still to be decided, and they set the rotation. So give us an update on that.
Yeah, well, the roster is pretty much set, and the breakdown is going to be like this. If they decide to carry 12 pitchers, which I think is likely, and 13 position players, Matt Duffy is going to make the team, which gives them some versatility at first and third. It just gives them that extra infielder, which would be a nice luxury to have. If they go with 13 pitchers, Duffy will be out, and then it's going to be either Wandy Rodriguez, James Hoyt, or Michael Feliz. those three guys are competing for the either one or two spots in the bullpen, depending how many position players they take. So Feliz is back in the mix. I mean, they optioned him out to minor league camp a few days ago, but AJ said today that they feel they want to give him another look, and they feel that he could really help them this year. So Feliz is back in the mix for that bullpen spot, and I think we'll see all three of those guys pitch this weekend or this week in Houston against the Brewers on Thursday and Friday, and then they'll make a decision, I think, by Friday night what they're going to do. But I think they will carry 12 pitchers. I think Duffy will start in the minor leagues, and so you'll have three guys competing for two spots in the bullpen. And the rotation is set. I mean, we all knew that Keuchel and McHugh would go 1-2, and we knew the other three names, just didn't know the order, but now we do. Fires will go the last game in New York, and then that makes him avoid his old team, because then they go play the Brewers at the weekend, and Feldman and Pfister are going to start games 1 and 2 against the Brewers. And AJ said there's a chance he could bring back Keuchel on short rest, I mean on regular rest, to pitch Saturday against the Brewers. But it's going to be Keuchel, McHugh, Fires, Feldman, and Pfister in the rotation as we start the season.
Okay, so yeah, when they were talking about whether they wanted 12 or 13 pitchers, I mean, a lot of that is, correct me if I'm wrong, is predicated really on what the schedule dictates, right? I mean, if they don't need, I mean, if they have like extra off days, they have an extra off day built in, I know, in that Yankee series. Does that have something to do with it? Like maybe if it's a lighter load that they might be able to go with one less pitcher?
Yeah, the off days and how the schedule sets up earlier are a big part of it. Yeah, they do have that. You know, their opening day for the Astros is Monday, and they're off Tuesday. So that's going to take a little bit of load off the pitching staff. Matchups, I think, play into it as well. And that's going to be the determining factor, I think, more so than the evaluation of the players. Like, Duffy starts today, but it's not like if he has a bad game, he's out of the running. I mean, it's either going to make the team or not based on what they already know about him. The same with the pitchers. So, yeah, if you remember last year, AJ did go with 13 pitchers for most of the year. I think he started with 12 and they went to 13. So he does prefer to have that extra pitcher over that extra position player, but it certainly appears he's going to start the season with the extra position player.
Okay. All right, so let's go into our bold predictions. So we were asking our reporters to come up with anything from the reasonable to the maybe a little outlandish, but I like your bold predictions because I think that all three of these things can happen. So let's start off with Astros winning the division. I think judging from what I saw from we have a little Excel sheet going on within our company, and there were about 25 people that were asked to participate, and I think that almost everybody picked the Astros to win the West. Maybe a couple didn't, but they look pretty strong, especially in a division that's not considered very, very strong.
Yeah, well, maybe it's, you know, not such a bold prediction if everyone's picking them. But, I mean, Nationals haven't won a division in a long time. And, you know, you can't sleep on the Rangers. I mean, the Rangers did win the division last year. The upgrades they made up at their bullpen towards the middle of the year are going to be huge for them this year. And they're going to have Hamels for a full year, and Darvish is going to come back. So, I mean, it's not like the Astros are going to be a walkover to win this division. I think it's going to be a dogfight again. But, yeah, I think they will win the division. I think it's going to come down to, like everything, pitching. I mean, I think offensively they're going to score runs like they did last year, probably even have a more potent offense considering Correa's here from day one and Gomez. And I think the bullpen is going to be much stronger, obviously, with Giles. But if the McCullers comes back and these bottom-of-the-rotation guys can deliver the innings, I think it would be very, very tough to beat the Astros in the AL West.
Okay, so you have Correa winning the MVP. I also have – actually, you have that as a bold prediction. I just flat out think he's going to win this MVP. You know, I mean, we can't say enough about the guy. We saw 4.5 months of him, or actually 3.5 months, right, last year. So over
right.
A full season, the sky's the limit, right?
Yeah, but, you know, you say Correa's going to win the MVP, and then, you know, last night I was watching TV and there were highlights of Mike Trout, and you're like, I mean, this is Mike Trout's still the best player in the game, and you know, barring injuries, I mean, Correa would have to have a phenomenal season to beat Trout, but he's that kind of player. I think we're going to see him take the next step, and you know, winning the MVP at 22 years old, he's going to be in Trout territory, and at the end of the day, they're going to be probably the two best players in the American League for a long time, and share many battles, but Correa's going to win some MVPs, and you know, I think it's going to be sooner than later. So let's say he's going to do it this year.
Okay, and now, and I like your last bold prediction that Kendrell leads the league in saves. You know, I've been a little bit around the Astros camp recently, and I try to just not roll my eyes too much. I still because they're not naming a closer. I get it. It's a little. I mean, look, Luke Gregerson has come on. He had a really strong outing against the Tigers the other day. He needed 9 pitches to walk 3 strikeouts. Ken Giles has had an okay spring. You know, the ERA is not quite there, but he's had some pretty good showing. I still believe that the Houston Astros traded for him in order to make him the closer. I don't think they traded 5 players in order to get a middle reliever. But, yes, I think that this could actually happen. So how bold is it that you're predicting that Giles leads the league in saves?
Well, you know, fans, I know they follow the team. They're passionate. That's great. But I think everybody puts a little bit too much stock into the spring training stats. Yeah, Giles hasn't been great. But, you know, I think if he gets the ball in opening day at Yankee Stadium and that adrenaline's flowing, you know, he's going to be throwing 100 miles an hour. And I think the number one thing is he's going to have tons of chances. I mean, this team's going to, if things fall the way they should, they're going to have a lot of leads in the 9th inning. So they're going to, he could have, you know, 55-60 chances to close out games, and you know, and he's got the stuff to close out most of them. He's going to have hiccups like any closer, but I just think with the opportunities that he has, the stuff that he has, barring injuries, that he's going to lead the league in saves. And we'll look back on this spring and this whole debate over not naming a closer is being kind of silly, because you're right, he's here to be the closer. It's not going to be Gregerson, and I fully expect Giles will get the ball opening day, and following Keuchel with a chance to close it out.